Okay, the night we all wait, Friday into Saturday morning, open lines, so get ready to roll. Fright Night tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. And again, those of you who have not yet gone up to the coasttocoastam.com website under feature article, take a look at that story of that UFO that we've been mentioning this week, but it's been digitally analyzed by an expert down in South Carolina. And look at this. Once you get into it, scroll all the way down, look for the colored portion of it. You can barely see the imprint of some kind of thing, a being, whatever it might be, in the middle of that craft or that object. And I'm telling you, the head is shaped like an alien, like the grays. It's got a big spot where you could see an eye, and the head is tilted a little bit. It's really strange, really strange. Let's go to the phones. Open lines begin on Coast to Coast AM. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. And where are you calling from?
My name is Mike Luther. I'm out of College Station, Texas.
Okay, sir. Go ahead.
Part of your previous discussion that had to do with the crash, the Bonanza crash, is very familiar to me for a different reason. I have never read the official report as far as the accident investigation from the FAA, but from the years 1960 through all of 1968 or so, I wound up as chief pilot for the ROTC Flight Training School at College Station's Easterwood Field for Texas A&M University. I wrote with probably 1,200 Aggies that went to Vietnam, from which have come 47 United States generals, and the accident and the cause of that accident was talked about widely by the Federal Aviation Agency General Aviation District Office in Houston, Texas in those early years of the 60s.
What did they say?
They were very, very specific about what caused the accident. There are basically two ways to fly an airplane on instruments. The way that is the easiest way is through an instrument which is called the artificial horizon. The pilot can no longer look outside the windshield and see the ground and the sky and all the rest of it. What they are doing is they're looking at an instrument that simulates the horizon up on the instrument panel.
Right.
When the airplane twists, it twists and the rest of it. But if it fails or if something is wrong with it, the way that you proof check it and have to fly the airplane is what we call partial panel or needle ball and airspeed. And what was very specifically taught to us and we used for teaching purposes during this whole period of time in those 60s was that the artificial horizon on that beach bonanza did not erect properly as part of the takeoff operation. And the pilot was confused in that he thought the airplane was flying level and he was climbing. But because of the defect in the artificial horizon, he was in a gradual slowing turn with the nose down and eventually came through and could not recover and fatally crashed the airplane.
Oh, my God.
And the pilot error that was discussed, which was verbally taught to me and verbally used all over by the Federal Aviation Agency as a wake-up or for people who were training purposes, was pilot error was that the person at the point in time was not referring to the needle and the ball and the airspeed to proof check and to prove that the artificial horizon in and of itself was defective and not showing him the proper attitude. That is the cause, according to the FAA verbally, which was taught to us.
Do you think that's what happened also to John F. Kennedy Jr.?
From what I have heard, and I have not heard any of the official discussion relative to that, I've heard that that was a vertigo incident, which you could simulate. If you want to feel it yourself, you put yourself in an office chair that swivels, and then have somebody put a blindfold over you, and then you turn the chair around and around and around and around and around, and then suddenly you stop the chair, pull the blindfold off, and ask the party to get up and walk across the floor. Almost always they will fall down there.
And you can't do it. Hey, thanks. Your phone was kind of scratchy, but your information was so important. I wanted you to get that out. Appreciate you being on the program. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
How you doing, George?
Doing well. I'm looking forward to tonight.
That's good. I've got a question for you.
Sure.
About some shadow people.
Okay.
I have been seeing some shadow people lately, and I don't know why, but I have. I've been catching them out of the corner of my eye in my house. At night when I work as a police officer, I also catch them around in the darkness. And, you know, I've been a cop for 11 years. I see a lot of things in the dark. So but this is definitely what I would consider shadow people.
And this is just starting up for you?
Yes. I've never, you know, I've been a faithful listener to you since you came to Coast to Coast and even before then with Art. And I've, you know, listened to those, you know, your discussions with shadow people, and these are definitely shadow people. And I just don't understand what they're here for, why I'm seeing them, except for I was talking to my wife the other day. We take care of her father, who has got Alzheimer's, who's dying slowly. And I don't know if maybe they're there because maybe he's going to die soon. So I was calling tonight to ask you that question, if they maybe precede death.
That's an interesting question. Most of the time when we get reports of shadow people, they just seem to be appearing, but they haven't necessarily been tied into deaths or anything like that. I would be very curious to see what happens in the not too distant future about this case with you. So keep in touch with us.
I definitely will do that.
Okay, appreciate it. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Scott. I'm calling from Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
And I have an unusual talent. I can say any word backwards, and I'm trying to get in the Guinness World Book of Records, and I don't believe that I can be stumped, and I figured if I could, you'd be the man to do it.
All right, I'll try that. First of all, tell me a little bit about how you got this gift.
Well, I'm 30 years old. I was about 15, and I saw a guy on Johnny Carson doing this trick, just asking the audience for words, and I just thought that I could do it. And so just over time, I don't know if it's an actual talent or it's something I've actually worked at or whatnot, but I believe I'm the only one. I've met a few people, and I can do it faster. I saw one guy that's in the Guinness World Book of Records, and I believe that I can beat him as well.
And you go by speed?
Yeah, I guess so, with the Guinness World Book of Records.
Let's start with some small words and build up, okay?
Okay.
And you're going to just tell it to us backwards.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead. All right, how about run?
Ner.
Hello.
Hello, ole.
All right, let's think. I'm rapidly coming to the end of my vocabulary now, so I'm going to be...
the best thing to do is to just look at a word in front of you and see if I'm saying it correctly, a big word. Now.
All right, how about forum?
Muroff.
Listening.
Gnienetzil.
Coast to coast.
To Sayak at to Sayak.
It's amazing. Friday.
Yeah, there. Bigger words now. Come on, you can stop me.
All right. Bartholomew.
Oh, wow, that's a good one. I'm a Letreb.
Encyclopedia.
Adep Olkikni.
That's amazing. Do you get stumped?
Well, every now and then, I guess, but I've just been doing it for so long, I don't know. I can just visualize the word, and I see it in my head, left to right, and then I just read it from right to left. In my head, so I don't know. I wanted to share that now.
How have you been able to apply this in your day-to-day living?
I mean, there's really not anywhere to apply this. That's why I really say it's a useless talent, but it's a party trick.
I mean, did you have an incredible memory in high school or anything like that?
not exceptional. I guess I've got a pretty good memory, but I've just got good visualization.
It's amazing, Scott. Did you bump your head? Anything like that?
not that I can recall.
That is absolutely incredible. Okay, how about my producer's last name, Danheiser?
Rasayanad.
I like that better. Tom Rasayanad. Okay, hey, thanks, Scott.
Well, thanks, George, for having me on the air. I appreciate it.
Okay, interesting gift. Too bad he can't make any money doing it. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, George. This is Tana from Oklahoma.
Hi, Tana.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to let you know that you have the same birthday as I do.
June 4.
64, too.
I'm not 64.
No, I said the year 64.
No, I was born in 50.
Oh, you were born in 50?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not,
I thought you were born in 64.
No, you are not as old as I am.
Okay. Well, I wanted to tell you something that happened to me. I'm visually impaired, and I have a little bit of eyesight. But back in 99, a neighbor of mine was shot and killed, and I went to his funeral. He was very popular. He had a lot of people that went to his funeral. And a few days after his funeral, I was up. I couldn't sleep, and I was sitting in my chair in the living room, and it was dark except for the TV, which I had turned down, and I sat back and closed my eyes, and I thought, Jack, which was my friend who died, I said, I wish you could let me know from the other side that people still exist. And I opened my eyes, and I looked up, and in the corner of the wall, there was this beam. It was just a big, tall beam. It was kind of a rectangular shape. And it slowly moved across the wall to the door. And I first looked back at the glass door to see if, you know, there was any kind of light coming from there.
Sure.
There wasn't. And I turned the TV off, thinking there was some kind of reflection. It was as bright as a flashlight, but it wasn't round. You know, it was just a big, tall mm-hmm. beam. And when it got to the door, in between the living room that I was in and the kitchen, it turned into a shape like a person, except you couldn't see arms and legs. It was just like a bodily shape
right.
with a head.
Like a torso portion.
Yeah, and it was kind of white and a little bit transparent, kind of like you could see through it. And I thought I was seeing things, and I rubbed my eyes, and I closed them, and I opened them again, and it was still there. And I thought, I can't see it well from here. I got to get up and go see if I'm really seeing what I'm seeing. And I walked right up to it, and I stood there, and it was still there.
Did it look back at you?
Yes. And like I said, I couldn't see it really well, but it looked like in the face, it was kind of like underneath the foggish look. There was kind of like brown patches, like where the eyes and nose and, you know, but you couldn't see it really clearly. And I stood there, and I reached out for it thinking, I don't know what I was thinking, because you couldn't touch it. I mean, you know, but I guess it's just human nature to want to reach out and touch something. And when I reached out to it, it turned and it went toward my room, which was right next door, and disappeared. It just vanished.
And what do you think it was?
I don't know. You know, I thought something like that would answer a question for me, although I never expected it to happen. But then I just had more questions.
You think it was a dearly departed one?
I don't know. I first thought it was him, and then I started questioning that it could have been something else. Could it have been a hologram? Could it have been somebody alive doing that? You know, could it be a lot of things? I mean, you know, it wasn't proof to me that it was, but it's something I'll never forget.
And it never came back?
No, it never came back.
That is strange. You know, I get people. I just had a dear friend of mine told me about a mist and a spirit that they saw over a dead body. I mean, it's pretty common. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're up with us.
Hey, good morning, George.
Hi.
How are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
This is your second small-town Wisconsin call in one night, and I've been listening forever, it seems like, and it's the first time two of us have gotten through, so I'm really looking forward to running this by you. Here's what's going on.
Okay.
I'm 42 years old, got out of a relationship at the end of 99-2000 with a girl who was a Wiccan. Never knew it, half hour or 6 year relationship, found out about it. She was a real freaky girl, trying to just be real quick with all this stuff. When we got out of this, she said she was casting whatever you want to say, some kind of a spell on me to make my life horrible. It has literally been nothing but BS.
Okay, you sure she was a Wiccan?
And
the reason why I say that is
okay.
Every Wiccan I have met or interviewed
okay.
has been absolutely delightful. They believe in God. They believe in a male-female God. But they are as nice a person as I've ever come across. So
okay.
I'm beginning to wonder if she was like a black mass practicing witch or something like that.
Well, maybe I was misrepresenting her sense of being. I mean, she was a real nice girl, all that type of stuff. She just turned into a real, put it this way, when you're getting out of a relationship, how people can get on the outs. She just kind of, using her beliefs, said that, you know what, I'm going to make your life really miserable because I'm the one that messed it up, just straight up. It was my fault.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I never really held much belief in it, George, but for what's happened, and I don't know how much detail we can get into here.
Well, no, we can't. She's cursed you. Let's see. I don't think she was a Wiccan, so we can move into that.
Okay.
But obviously she's dabbled in the occult somehow.
Definitely.
And so she puts this curse on you, and your life has been a holy hell, I take it.
I mean, I have lost literally everything. I'm a musician, was playing, along with people on a national level. I'm a drummer. I had a great, great life. And again, I know we don't have time to discuss all the ifs, ands, buts, and whats.
But ever since the curse, it's collapsed?
I'm talking, people keep telling me, George, oh, it can only get better. I'm so sick of hearing that. I mean, it has been.
Remind me not to say that tonight.
Yeah, thank you. But it's just been that. And I guess what I was just trying to run by you, because this is of any place, anywhere I could look, you didn't talk to anybody, I wanted to get this by you. And I know it's kind of a out there thing. What do you suggest? Where do I turn? What can I do? Because I am at a loss, and I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Was she that powerful?
I'm starting to believe so. I mean, I'm 42 years old, living with family. I've lost every single bit of everything I've owned. I can't catch a job. I can't catch a break. I am hooked.
Well, let me ask you something. You don't think you're possessed, do you?
Oh, no. Nothing along those lines.
All right.
I'm just really, you know, I mean, to the point of it's got me depressed. It's got me at a loss where to turn, what to do. And just, I listen to your show religiously. I mean, I fall asleep every night listening to you, and I really enjoy a lot of it. Heard so much. Obviously, there's so many different people out there with expertise in certain fields. I felt that if I ran it by you, per people you may have spoken
And this is just my very quick observation of what's going on with you. And take this all as a positive, please.
Oh, no problem.
But I'm beginning to sense that from the moment you wake up, you feel negative about this and about your day, about what's going to happen to you, about what she has done to you. And I think that begins to follow you throughout the day. It goes into the week. It goes into the month. It goes into the year. I think you need to address that from the moment you wake up. I think you need to start thinking much more positively about your life and about the direction you're going to go and start fighting this. I would start meditating on this bright white light that everybody does.
Okay.
Kind of surround yourself in it. Create a bubble, almost like a shield, a force field.
Okay, can I just say this to you quick?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to cut you off at all. It has not like overwhelmed me or overtaken like my every thought or anything like that. It's just something I'm very aware of, and it's just.
But it's negative.
But I don't wake up going, oh, what kind of a hellacious day am I going to have? It's not like that. It's just something I'm very aware of.
All right. Yeah. Well, I would just take the aggressive stance, and I would start from the moment you wake up to think positively about your day, until eventually you overcome this, because. I mean, this is not normal for this to be occurring to you all the time.
Yeah, and not for 6 years, six plus now. It's going seven now.
That's too, I mean, it's almost at the point where I'd say, call her back up and beg for forgiveness.
And the thing is, I see her occasionally. I mean, we have common friends, and we don't talk, and that was something else. Do I maybe even ask her, how can I reverse something like this?
Why don't you say, dear, would you just take the curse off? I'm sorry. Is it worth it?
Yeah, well, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, you might want to start at that too, but you got to get rid of the negativity that's shrouding you. I mean, because I feel it. I feel it coming right through the microphone. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. You know, on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Pacific time until 10 p.m., every Saturday, several hundred stations across this land, Ian Punnett hosts a program for us, colleague, my friend, called Coast to Coast Live. Ian, how are you?
George, I'm doing better than I deserve.
You deserve to be very happy, Mr.
No, Brian. No, I have been the recipient of an inequity, and I have to confess.
And what is that?
There's a chocolate shop on Clark Street in Chicago called Bon Bon. The manager and owner is a big fan of yours. Her name is Elizabeth, and she loves you, and I don't know why, but I got a box of chocolates from her today, which are outstanding, but she loves you but I got the chocolate.
Well, because she wants to keep me in shape, and she wants you to eat the bonbon.
Is that what it is? I don't know, but that's like the best deal in the world.
I love it. Well, enjoy it. Hey, what's new on the program this week?
Well, it is cool. In fact, it's actually something that started a couple of weeks on yours. Have you burned up all your vacation time yet, George?
No, it's the new year now. But,
okay.
So I'll probably take some days in June, but I'll sprinkle a Friday every once in a while.
Well, when I was filling in for you a couple of weeks ago, we did open lines with a special topic line of people who believe that they have non-human souls.
That's interesting.
Well, there's a couple of different categories. People call them other kins, or they call themselves furries, and they believe that they don't. They either share their human body with the soul of another creature, that includes dragons or elves, but it also could be foxes or whales, or in the case of a guy who called, horses. And he is a guy named Jason Wentworth, and he honestly believes and can prove, he says, that he has the soul of a 2,000-pound English Shire draft horse.
He thinks he is a reincarnated version of a horse.
He knows this, and he knows this from his very earliest memories. He is a huge horse trapped in a human body.
Well, you got to ask him to count for you, first of all. And if he hits his feet on the ground, you know he might be right.
See, and I was going to ask him to move from furniture. So I think you're smarter. You're right. You get him to prove that he's got a.
Okay, so he's your guest on Coast to Coast Live.
So we had him on for about 15 minutes when I was filling in for you, and he was just fascinating. And we got a lot of email from people who said, fraud, he's a faker. But from many more people who said, okay, I got to hear the rest of that story. So we asked him back. He's going to be our main guest tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live. And also in the first hour, Clint Van Zandt, you know him, former FBI hostage negotiator.
He's good.
And the author of Facing Down Evil. And he's going to talk about, just for a few minutes to start the show, he's going to talk about when he was kidnapped as a kid and why his experiences inform us as to why these boys, Sean Hornbeck and Ben Ownby, but Sean Hornbeck in particular, why he didn't do more to get free, it would appear.
What a bizarre story that is. You know, I'm going back to St. Louis in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's like the hotbed of
it. It is. It's right there. It's right up by where I live almost. And I'm going to try to do an interview with the attorney and with Devlin, suspect.
Wow.
See if we can get him. But now, Coast to Coast Live, it's on 6 p.m. Pacific time on a couple hundred stations plus across this country. You would love to see that at your own coast-to-coast rate, the program that I picked up from you and Art when you guys were doing
right.
it. And what do you suggest people do? So if they're in, if they happen to be in a market
right.
where they don't get the show, what can they do?
Well, StreamLink is always an easy, and you've got a lot of people who are already listening to you who can then listen to the show automatically on StreamLink. You have a call that you can make to your local affiliate if you want to, and you can tell them, hey, I'd love to still get this Saturday night, Coast to Coast 2. And then there are some people that, because it's nighttime, are able to pick it up out of other markets. If they go to the website, coasttocoastam.com, and they keyword search on Coast to Coast Live, there on the website, they'll be taken to the page that lists all the stations, and who knows, they might just get one from another market, like, you know, maybe WLS out of Chicago or something like
Super.
That.
Super, and thank you, by the way, for doing double duty last week.
Oh, that was so much fun. I had the most fun doing that. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Ian.
Count me in anytime, George. God bless you. Have a great night.
Take care of yourself. It's Ian Punnett. Ian Punnett, Coast to Coast Live, Saturday, 6 p.m. Pacific time until 10 p.m. If it's not in your market, and chances are you're hearing Coast to Coast, just call your program director who knows Coast to Coast, knows the program, and say, hey, come on, pick it up. It's Saturday. Chances are he'll do it. And I should call in on Ian's show on Saturday when he's talking to the guy who thinks he's a horse, because I used to do the greatest Mr. Ed impressions when I was younger. Hey, Danny, you want to hear it? Here we go. Watch this, and then we'll go to the phones, I promise. Hello, Wilbur. That's pretty good. So nothing makes Dan laugh. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. I was just calling to tell you that yesterday I sent you an email, and within 40 minutes I had already gotten a response, and I thought that was pretty cool that I had such a quick response.
Well, that's okay. You know, chances are you got me right by my computer. I was probably doing email work, and I sensed your energy, and what did I say back to you?
It was awesome. Well, it was entitled Insomnia, and I told you that I had just gone to the doctor that day for my anxiety and sleep problems I was having.
He told me
to keep the room dark and quiet, and I just couldn't bring myself to admit to him that I was addicted to Nori, so.
I remember
I guess
that.
I'll have to be awake.
That was cute. What's going on in your life these days?
Well, last night I had a really scary dream. I have six kids. My oldest is 16 and my youngest is 5. And I don't know how I found out, but somehow I had found out that my son died.
Oh, my God.
And that's the very first time that I have ever had a dream about one of my children dying.
Yeah, these are dreams that parents hate.
Oh, my God. I laid in bed, and it felt like someone had just dropped a huge cannonball on my stomach
yeah.
and hollowed me out. I was just sick to my stomach. And, you know, I just wondered, so the first thing I did was called up my ex-husband and asked him if everything was okay with our son, you know, because, you know, mother's inclination, I thought.
Oh, of course. You know what I would do, though, I think it's worth talking to your son and just telling him to be extra careful, because sometimes when we get signs, you know, people, you know, the man upstairs, whatever is doing this, is giving us warnings. And you know what? Who knows if some guy is going to go through a red light and do something foolish. So, you know, give him the added benefit of just saying, hey, for a little bit, just, you know, be on your toes, you know, just be more aware. I think it's a sign, and I don't think anything's going to happen to him, but I do think there's a wake-up call there.
I know. I thought about that, too. He's only 13 years old, and I don't want to, like, freak him out, you know, because I know he'll start getting scared.
I wouldn't say I dreamt you died, but I would simply say, look, okay. I get these dreams, and you know what? It's time for all of us to be very careful and very alert with some of the things we do. And,
yeah.
You know, it might be worth it. He may be doing something one day, and he may say, well, I better not do it like this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. I had a dream like that, and I did the same thing with my daughter. And I'll tell you what, nothing happened, but I would have kicked myself for the rest of my life if something did and I didn't talk to her or at least warn her. So go ahead and do that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is John from Wisconsin.
Hey, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi. You just had a caller before talking about the shadow people.
Yes.
And I got a story about the shadow people.
All right.
Okay. Back in 1989, I was like 8 years old, and this was during the day. I was inside my house, and I was going to walk towards my bedroom, and I was walking past the kitchen, and I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. So I looked in the kitchen, and on the outside of the kitchen window looking in, I saw this black shadow, like a perfect figure of a man. And when I looked at it, it quick ducked. And when it ducked, you could still see part of its forehead sticking up from behind the window. And I'm sitting there staring at it, and I'm, like, freaked out in my mind, and then it just vanished. And I didn't tell any of my sisters or my mom and dad because, you know, I was only 8 years old. I figured that, you know, they would have thought that I was lying.
A vivid imagination of an 8-year-old, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So then a couple of weeks later, this is during the day again, we was all outside doing our own thing, and then I got bored, and I went inside, and I was watching TV, and I could feel something looking at me, and I turned around because I was sitting in a rocking chair, and I figured I would see, like, one of my family members. Instead, I saw this black shadow walking up from behind me. So I jump out of my seat, and I'm spinning around, and I'm thinking by the time I spin around, I'm gonna see the shadow. But when I finally turned around, there was nothing there. And at this point, I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, you know, it's either one of two things. Either I'm losing my mind, or this is real. And if it's real, then this thing is now in the house.
Let's hope it's real.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks later, I'm in my bed sleeping, and I can feel something pushing down on the end of the bed. And I open my eyes, and I can see the shadow there. And it's pushing down on the end of the bed, but I was like half awoke and half asleep. So it really didn't sink in my head. So I closed my eyes and I fell back asleep. I don't know if I was asleep for a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes, but I woke up and I was just scared out of my mind. I jumped out of bed. I ran into the living room where my parents were, and I just told them I had a bad dream. So I ended up sleeping with them that night. And this is where it gets kind of weird. A couple weeks after that, my mom and dad got into an argument. So my dad was sleeping in my room, and I was sleeping on the living room couch. Yeah, I know. I got the shady end of
all because bit. Of the shadow person.
Yeah. Okay. Now, my dad is sleeping, and I was sleeping on the couch, and I could hear the scream. And I woke up, and I looked around, and I didn't see anything. I just figured I dreamt it. And I fell back asleep, and then I woke up later, and I could hear my mom and dad talking at the kitchen table. And the next day, I asked my mom what happened, and she told me that my dad was sleeping, and he woke up because he could feel something pushing down on the end of my bed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he saw that shadow person, and the same thing happened to him. He looked at it, and then he just fell back asleep, and then he woke up a couple minutes later, and he realized what happened.
Did he let you go back in the room to sleep after that?
After that, I was sleeping with my parents for at least a good 2 or 3 months after that.
And then finally it went away?
Well, what happened was a few years after that, we was living in a different house in a different town. And it was on a Friday night. At this point, my mom and dad was divorced. So us kids was just living with my mom. My oldest sister was married, so she was out. She was out with her family. My second oldest sister was out with her friends, so it was just my third sister that was home alone. And my mom was out at the casino or something. And me and my friend are walking back towards my place, and it must have been around 10 o'clock at night. We was about 50 yards from my place, and underneath the streetlight, for one split second, I saw that shadow person. It was like for one split second. So I didn't say anything because, you know, it was dark and cold, and I just figured my eyes were playing tricks. So we get back in the house, and my sister's crying, and I say, what's wrong with you? And she told me, my friend, that she was sitting on the couch, and in the hallway coming from the bathroom, she could hear this heavy breathing, and she thought that me and my friend snuck in the house. And then she figured out that we couldn't have snuck in the house because the only way to get in the house is through the front. So she got scared and she scooted all the way to the other side of the couch so she wouldn't get tempted to look down the hallway. And then she was just sitting there, and out of the hallway came that shadow. And she let out a scream and she threw a blanket over her head. And I told her, like, then she said that, like, a minute later is when me and my friend came in. And I told her, like 30 seconds ago, when we was walking up to the house, I saw that shadow underneath the
There's no question that you've got some kind of creature hanging around wherever you guys live. I mean, it's affecting your whole family, for crying out loud. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Is this George Norrie?
It sure is.
Oh, thank you. This is Matthew calling from Spring, Texas.
Hi, Matthew. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to know what happened to Oscar.
We don't know, Matthew, what happened to Oscar. His last time he was on, we had him exercised. You know what that is, right?
Yes, yes.
And he took off, and it may have worked.
I guess so, because I heard it when Art cast him away.
You think Art was the one who got rid of him?
Yeah, I think Art did.
I hope so. Now, you're the one. How old are you?
I'm 15.
But you're the one who told us, Tommy, that you were 18.
Yeah.
I want to cut a deal with you here, Matthew.
Okay.
First of all, why'd you say you were 18?
I don't know. Did you think
he was going to boot you off?
Yeah.
Because we do have a rule that younger people who call, we have to talk to their parents first. And I guess, where's your parents?
My mom's, like, she works very hard.
So you didn't want to wake her up.
Yeah, she works very hard.
So you said, sure, that you're 18 so you could get on the show and we didn't have to talk to her.
Yeah. She...
All right. Here's the deal I'm going to cut with you.
Okay.
You can call the show anytime you want.
All right.
But you got to tell the truth for the rest of your life.
All right. I'll tell the truth for the rest of my life.
It might not be good. It may get you in trouble. Who knows where it will lead you. But in the long run, it's the best thing for you. Deal?
Deal.
Okay. You got it. Appreciate you being on the program. Wildcard Line, you're up. Hi there.
Hi there. George, this is Sandra from Ohio.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
That's good.
I just bit my lip.
Oh, poor thing.
I'm bleeding.
Have Tom put a little something on
it. I wouldn't have Tom get close to me. He's the kiss of death.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
So, go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling about the subject from last Friday, I think it was, John Teeter.
Yes.
You were talking about some of his predictions, and someone called in and mentioned that they had read about an astrological cycle talking about civil war around the same time period that John Teeter had predicted it.
Yes.
And I'm an astrologer, too. And I sent you an email about this whole subject last year, but I know you're busy. You probably missed it.
I don't know. I may not have responded back to you, but I get them all.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. I know you're a hard worker.
Oh, I am. That's true.
Yeah.
Always working.
Well, anyway, about this cycle.
15, 20 hours a day.
It's a... Okay. Well, I'll send you some extra prayers. How's that?
All right.
Okay.
No life? No friends.
You sound like me. but anyway,
I'm kidding.
This Pluto cycle, it does last about 16 years, and it starts officially in January of 2008, but it really started kicking off in the last couple of years. You can see the buildup. You can feel it. And the last time this happened, toward the end of the cycle, we had the Revolutionary War. So we look at the, you know, the buildup of, you know, taxation without representation, how much input the citizenry felt they had versus what the government was doing for them, to them, whatever. But anyway, without getting into politics, this cycle is coming back. It's bringing the consciousness back to us of that same time period. And it also, within a few years, brought the French Revolutionary War, too. So in order to hopefully avoid that, I heard Greg Braden the other night, too, talking about how it's written in ancient books that we revere about how this type of thing is something that will be, or will you change it? I remember that line.
Well, can we change it?
And, well, I believe we can. That's what astrology is really about using your will and your consciousness to shift the consciousness of these cycles, these energy waves that come in with these astrological cycles. And there is a cycle that we're in the middle of right now that has to do with being able to see clearly a lot of things that are deceptions that we're normally in denial about or just ignoring as we go through our lives. It brings things out into the open. And that's an energy that we can work with, and we can ask and pray to see
more
clearly.
Can we do it as an individual, or can you have to do it with everybody?
Individuals can do it, and, of course, it'll help even more so if it's a group thing.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll get you back on, and you can put the group together one day. Thanks for the call. We'll be back on Coast to Coast AM.